Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight. But first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and the owner of a brand new roof over their back portion of their facility, Cal. They just finished it today.
That's outstanding.
It's awesome, man. You can't believe what they've been doing over there. Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen via podcast, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcasting sites. You can always check us out there. And Tom's Tirade is up via castbox.com. And if you subscribe, you'll get notifications when there are new podcasts uploaded. Also, follow us on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight, so if we can't get to everything or you like more information on the topics of the day, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And for those of you playing at home, Alabama just got bounced from the NIT tournament. So I just wanted to let Tom know that.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't even want to hear that. If it would have been, well, I don't need to say what I wanted to say. I'll just shut up.
I just thought I'd get that jab in there. Okay. Anyway, later on SBN, we will speak with Ms. Tina Peru with the Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce. You need to shorten that somehow. It's a lot to get on a business card. But she's going to give us the details on their upcoming first responders.
Got one. It folds in three places. It's like one of diesel trucks, you know, it goes breaks in the middle.
It's the SMCCC or something like that. But anyway, and also a new report has the Navy's F-35 taking fire before it's even flown into combat. We'll give you the details there. And the devastating flooding that we've seen in the Midwest has not spared our military bases. And it's actually affecting some of the air shows and things of that nature. So we'll tell you what's happening and how you can help. Also, the president released his proposed 2020 budget. We want to touch a little bit on what to expect for our military and our veterans. And in the wake of St. Patrick's Day, why are so many Medal of Honor recipients Irish? Interesting story.
They're badass, man.
Luck of the Irish or not. No, speaking of badass, Tom's tirade, we got that on Destined for the Dustbin. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, in something of a follow-up to a topic that we've covered here, and Tom takes no amount of pleasure in discussing, we touched on it a little bit last week. We really didn't get to go into it in detail. But the Defense Department has approved a new policy that will largely bar transgender troops and military recruits from transitioning to another sex, requiring that most individuals serve their birth gender. Something we've talked about. But the memo outlining the new policy comes after a lengthy and complicated legal battle. Now, it falls short of the all-out transgender ban that was initially ordered by Donald Trump. But it will likely force the military to eventually discharge transgender individuals who need hormone treatments or surgery or can't or won't serve in their birth gender. And, you know, Tom, ooh, it's one of those things we've talked about.
He's on my page.
Well, here's the thing. If somebody's blind, they can't be a pilot.
Right.
If somebody is not medically qualified to serve in the infantry, you're not going to be able to put them there.
Right.
And so what you got here is a scenario where they're creating a problem to solve. And I understand there are folks that are very patriotic. They want to serve. But for reasons, medical reasons, health reasons, they aren't able to. And, we talked about the fact that by the time someone goes through basic and then if they jump right in and have the surgery, if they've got a 4-year enlistment, you're going to probably lose a quarter of their service.
Right.
While they're going through all of this.
Yeah, let me say this. And we keep remarking about how I feel about it. And
remember, Tom, this is not internet radio.
Well, that's right. we do have shows on the internet too. Anyway, I don't have a problem with people doing that. I don't have a problem with anything about it, except that if they join the service and they expect the service to furnish them with the hormones or the other chemicals that they need for their body, and they want the service to perform the operation. Now, that's where I take exception. If they want to do that, that's fine. They don't need to involve the military with it and ask the military to spend $1 million changing them from one thing, from a 0 to a 1 or a 1 to a 0. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, and I think there is something, there's an aspect not only from a service readiness, combat readiness position, because it's like someone who if they have an injury and they're having to rehab to get back to that, that unit is understaffed because you can't just plug somebody else in there because the force readiness numbers.
But they got that by making themselves available for the duties that they were required to do, Cal. Not a personal personal attitude.
Well, that's true. The magic date is April 12th. Under the new rules, currently serving transgender troops and anyone who has signed an enlistment contract by April 12th may continue with plans for hormone treatments and gender transition if they've been diagnosed with gender dysphoria after April 12th. Not going to happen. You're not going to be allowed to enlist. And if you decide you want to make the switch after April 12th, you're going to have to serve in your birth gender. Then you know, I guess after you get out of the service. And of course, I mean, we even talked about this transitioning over into the VA, Tom, because, you know, if they do serve honorably and they're able to get into the VA system, is the VA going to recognize this as a medical condition that then the VA will have to handle? I think there's, you know, obviously there's the question of, you know, the commitment to want to serve, and if they really want to serve. I mean, I know people, you know, folks that, you know, they don't do this or they don't do that so they can serve, or they, you know, if they lose a couple hundred pounds so they can serve. So yeah, there are sacrifices that everybody makes to be able to serve in the military. And is it really on the backs of the American taxpayer to fund these surgeries? So anyway, this may actually stick, when it will not face another legal battle. We'll have to see, Tom. You can always visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on that story. On the other side of the break, we will speak with Ms. Tina Peru from the Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number's 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can always catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is a pleasure to be joined by Ms. Tina Peru, the Executive Director for the Southwest Mobile County Chamber of Commerce. Tina, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you for having me.
I tell you, it's really neat to have you on and talk about the First Responders Day, Tina. For benefit of the people that are not aware of what's going on, somebody says, Mobile Chamber of Commerce? He said, no, this is Southwest Mobile County. That's there exactly is a right. difference?
Yes, there is a difference. We're doing a lot of things in South Mobile County, and this is just a great opportunity for us to show our appreciation for first responders.
Well, it's neat to see that you guys are doing this. Now, this is going to be on March the 27th, 2019. We're talking about next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Morning, 9 a.m. Well, now, this is Tillman's Corner Community Center on Carroll Plantation Road, and it's First Responders Day. How does that relate to the public? Why are we bringing it to the public's attention?
We are bringing it to the public's attention for them to have the opportunity to show their appreciation. You know, we want to honor these men and women that serve tirelessly for us day in and day out. And the local businesses are supporting this and partnering with us, as well as individuals in the community. We also have schools that have partnered with us to help us make this a big celebration and just a way to say thank you.
So the public could show up there near somewhere around the 9 to 9:30, 10 o'clock time, and they, if they have a first responder, a policeman, or a fireman, or border patrol, or who else is going to be invited?
We have some 911 dispatchers. We have volunteer firemen, state troopers, sheriff's department, fire department, mobile police department, nurses, doctors. We have
awesome.
Them all. Yeah.
So. Where I was going with that is, in other words, this would be a place where you could go and have a chance to talk to one or some or a lot of these individuals.
Exactly.
When they're not furnishing food for the public.
Only for the first responders.
Right. The first responders will be fed. And I think
Dick Russell's is preparing the food, yes.
That's awesome. Now, do you have some sponsors that help with that?
We do. We have a lot of sponsors, but our title sponsors are Evonik Industries, Mobile Memorial Gardens Funeral Home, and Mobile Memorial Gardens Cemetery. They're our big sponsors, and We have probably over 60 other businesses that are going to be featured as well.
60?
60. So each responder will leave with a swag bag full of goodies and freebies throughout the community
that
they can
awesome.
Use. Yes.
And so it's an appreciation day.
It is. It is.
For our first responders and all facets of first responders.
And all facets.
But, you know, here on Scuttlebutt, we like to think it's our first responders as our hometown everyday veterans.
That's exactly right.
Guys like Cal and I, when we were in the service, and we were in for a certain period of time, which a Marine's always a Marine, but even though we don't serve 24/7, you know, for 40 years, a first responder, a city, a policeman, or a state police, firemen, or these 911 operators, they are serving daily.
Daily.
You know, and they might stay there 20, 30 years, 40
That's
years.
That's exactly right. Just as the veterans' families, you know, serve, it's a family service as well.
Well, that's the respect for our
it
local,
is.
Our everyday veterans.
Well, we want to honor them while they're still living. You know, our city has had serious situations.
It's a hell of a note that we got to say it that way.
It is. But, you know, we would like for them to know that they're appreciated before we have to...
Well,
do the awful.
And a matter of fact, I was talking to some people today about putting together a fallen heroes, you know, like a breakfast for our fallen heroes. And we certainly don't want these people to fall into that category.
We don't.
So and we don't need to wait till they're gone and something does happen to them to appreciate them and show our appreciation. We need to do it now.
That's right. And, you know, we're also doing this as an educational thing for the local schools that are our partnering schools. We're bringing them in. They're making banners and waving flags. They'll be lining the streets at 8:30 as the first responders parade in. So if you do want to come as a volunteer or just as the public, you want to be there for 8:30 because they're going to get to see just the flags, the patriotism.
So that'd be the best time to get there, 8:15, 8:30?
8:30.
Okay, and plenty of parking?
Plenty of parking.
Okay, I guess you got the school grounds you could utilize.
We do.
They utilize all of your place near the Pecan Festival. So.
They do. We're a community, and so we support each other. But Theodore High School Band will also be there. Their junior ROTC will be presenting the colors. Our councilman, John Williams, will be the guest speaker.
Awesome.
And so we've got a quite...
Great veteran.
Yes, he is
Great
also
veteran.
A veteran.
Yes, he's a veteran. He's I think he was a retired Army major.
I think so.
Yes, good guy. Hey. His wife outranks him. She's a colonel.
I've heard that, but I'm sure.
We won't let him forget it either. Yeah, she thanks us every time we see him. Thank you. I appreciate it. Keep reminding him. I do outrank him.
There you go.
I said, okay, that's between y'all now.
Well, it's just an honor to have him with us that day. You know, several other. Chief Seeley's going to be with us with the fire department. Chief Batiste is tentatively scheduled to be with us. So we're excited. We're excited to have
that
everyone
awesome.
Come out and be excited about the breakfast. So
that
there's still
really
time to partner with us. And if you...
you do have some openings for some organizations or companies or the individuals.
We're taking door prizes as well. If you want to donate some items from your business, you're welcome to do that. Each responder will, like I said, get some swag bags to take with them. So it's exciting.
That's neat. So somebody's got a company in this area, Mobile area, or Mobile County, and when they'd like to get some of their products out to these people, then... As door prizes and gifts.
That's right.
Then feel free to come forward and do so.
We have two restaurants that have donated free meals for them, gift certificates. So, you know, it's just a great thing. And it's just amazing how people show the support and want to be involved.
That is really neat. That is so neat. Now, if you will, run back through it again and give us a little rundown about the date, times, and what have you.
This is our 6th annual First Responders Day, and it's March 27th at 9 a.m. The parade will start at 8:30. Just come out and help us support them. Last year, we had about 150 first responders. We're expecting more this year.
Sure.
I think we had 100 volunteers show up last year. So.
Good gracious. Okay. It's Tillman's Corner Community Center.
5055 Carroll Plantation Road.
Now, tell everybody where that may be, if they're not familiar with it.
It's right behind W.C. Griggs Elementary School on Carroll Plantation, home of the Pecan Festival.
Yes, home of the Pecan Festival. If you've been to the Pecan Festival, if you have been to the Theodore, Tillman's Corner Community Center.
That's exactly right.
Or if you've been to the Christmas parade.
There you go. We're probably the host of the parade as well.
They host a parade, and that's where the parade starts at. I tell you, it's just now a website and our phone number if a company or an individual wants to get in touch with you and be part of the donation.
Yes, they can email us at info@swmcchamber.com. Our phone number is 666-2488, or you can go to our website, www.swmcchamber.com.
The phone number would probably be easiest.
It probably
666-2488. And that's to the boss lady, Miss Tina. Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a we love to see our local organizations recognize our first responders.
Absolutely.
And our veterans. And we really appreciate what you're doing there. But it's awesome. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And like I said, it's a feel-good kind of event. So come out and help us support them.
Amen. Mr. Cal, are you aboard?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just enjoying all the information. It's, you know, it's great to know that this is the sixth annual event, and it's not just the breakfast, but there's so much more that goes along with it, and it's just a great way, like Tina said, it's a great way to be able to recognize and thank these first responders, because as we have seen in the Mobile area, you never know when they are going to put their lives on the line and may not come home to their family. So we thank you for what you're doing, and hopefully we'll have a great turnout from the community to be able to support these first responders.
Thank you so much.
On the other side of the break, we're going to take a look at exactly how combat ready the Navy's F-35 is, and it might not be able to stand up, at least one watchdog group says. We'll talk about that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our latest sponsor, Lifeline Counseling Service, the Veterans 911 Hotline.
Or 211 Hotline.
How about 211? What did I say, 9?
There you go.
Oh, hell, yeah. I was trying to divert some of the calls.
There you go. But anyway, you know, Tom, we have kept up with sort of the ongoing saga of the F-35. And, of course, a lot of that, our analysis has been because they kept wanting to try to say that the Warthog, the A-10, needed to be mothballed so that they could pump more money into the F-35, because the F-35 was going to take the A-10s, especially its close air support, a role. Well, a new report from the nonprofit Project on Government Oversight, which is a government watchdog organization, says the Navy's F-35 variant isn't ready for combat, even though the service signed off on the aircraft's initial operating capability last month. The project says that the Navy variant, quote, continues to dramatically underperform in crucial areas, including availability and reliability, cyber vulnerability testing, and life expectancy testing. I don't know, Tom. It doesn't sound like that's what something I'd want to go up in the air in.
I'm not flying that thing. I'm not even riding in it.
You know, because, yeah, I mean, life expectancy testing, that's like, you're going to crash.
Right.
But
yeah, that's a matter of fact. You're going to crash, fool.
Yeah. Yeah, the group obtained two charts dated December 31st, 2018, showing the readiness trajectory of the Navy and Marine Corps variants. And this quote is not good, Tom. It says, quote, "The fact that the Navy is pushing ahead with the aircraft in spite of evidence that it is not ready for combat and could therefore put missions at risk, as well as the troops who depend on it to get to the fight." I'm that to me right there, Tom, says I think they just Navy. Yeah, the Navy referred all questions about the new report to the Pentagon.
Whoops. Come on.
Tom, I think this is I think there's a lot of great potential here, but the problem is that we are tossing aside the aircraft that, although they may be old, we know that they can perform.
Yes, yes. They are proven.
And this one
peace.
Looks like it. And yes, and I think the problem is that that you have politicians who would like to see this thing pushed ahead, and they have backers and lobbyists that want mm-hmm. this to be pushed. And goodness knows, mm-hmm. it would be fantastic if this could perform exactly the way they wanted it to. But the Air Force, as well as the Navy, are working to reach the Defense Secretary's established goal of having aircraft mission capable rate of 80% by the end of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, okay, that's 80%. Here's the problem. Apparently, the report shows that the Marine and Navy's variants posted worse figures in 2018 than in the previous year, where it's the capability fell from 23 to 12.9%.
Unbelievable.
If you're out there, if you're boots on the ground and you're waiting for that close air support, I think you're hoping that you're going to have an A-10 show up, not an F-35.
I'd rather have the A-10 Warthog there, because I know that thing works. The other thing is, have you ever seen Navy and Marine pilots go on strike for not furnishing them a safe, reliable piece of equipment?
I don't know that I've ever seen them go on strike, Tom. No, that probably is not good for your career.
My plane won't crank.
You have to make sure you have the key fob.
Wrong key fob.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But
anyway,
that is pitiful, Cal, that we spent a gazillion billion. I mean, I don't know how many billions of dollars on this F-35, and now they're pushing it into the service when it's not a capable piece of equipment. That's just damn wrong to our vets and our pilots that are putting their lives on the line out flying this stuff. And you know how they feel. They don't want to go up.
No. But they may not want to, but they know they will have to. I mean, they're not going to buck those orders.
That's still wrong.
Like I said, the worst part of it is they may be flying an aircraft that they know cannot perform the mission that is going to help them support their fellow service members when the time comes.
And you've got one or two people in the plane, and then you might have 40 on the ground that you're trying to save, that a Warthog could save due to the firepower that we know that is capable of all of these years. We've got hundreds of thousands of men and women walking around this earth that have been saved by the Warthog, and here we are fixing to put that percentage factor on the line when we put an inferior product out there.
Yeah. Well, obviously this report will put some folks on notice, and who knows, they may have to scale back and rethink and just realize that, again, the potential is great, but you also have to make sure that it's going to be able to perform the missions that it needs to. You know, Tom, I don't know, I haven't seen that much on it, but these floods that have hit out in the Midwest, it is it's just remarkable. I was talking with somebody yesterday. He said he just gotten a call from his brother, and they had to flee their home. Their home was entirely flooded. But it doesn't just affect the general population. It obviously can affect our military. And Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska has been devastated. They apparently, officials and airmen that are stationed there cannot get into 60% of the structures until the water recedes. Only mission essential personnel are working right now. They're hoping to be able to reopen the flight line. But, Tom, I read a follow-up story, and along with everything else that is occurring there, that they're apparently having to cancel some of the upcoming air shows because of the damage that has occurred there. And the flight line is actually elevated, but roughly 3,000 feet of the runway remains submerged.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
And it really, you know, it's hard to comprehend. You know, if you've never been out to Nebraska or Oklahoma, whether you've been on the ground or flown over those areas, it's just flat. There's nothing for miles. So when that water starts coming, it's going to take out anything and everything that is around it. And so, you know, this comes on the heels of Tyndall Air Force Base, which was basically obliterated by Hurricane Michael. Last October. So, you just got to remember, I know there are a number of pages where you can donate to the military and their families to be able to help them out in their time of need. If you're going to make those donations, make sure that you make sure that you are going to donate to a reputable charity, that the funds will get to the right place. If there's a question, you can always contact your local, you know, American Legion or VFW, because they'll have folks in that area that can go in and help. The problem, Tom, is they got to wait until the water recedes.
Right, that's the bad part about it. They can't get in there. And you know what scares the dickens out of me, Cal, is the fact all of this water that is up there and is giving all those people fits, it's going to hit the Mississippi River. And you know, it's got to come this way, and we're going to have another catastrophe in Louisiana and Mississippi and Arkansas and St. Louis and those areas in there that are so flood prone. It's just started. The nightmare has just started.
Well, it has, and it's almost hard to comprehend. I mean, I know we deal with hurricanes, and obviously when you get a hurricane like a Katrina that just dealt, you know, such a wide path of destruction from really Alabama to Louisiana and even into Texas, you know, it's that is hard for people to comprehend if they're not down here. But it's hard to comprehend when you're looking at not three or four states, but five or six states that are impacted in totally different ways. I mean, it was snow and blizzard, and then the rains and the floods, and of course now the snows are starting to melt, and that's just going to continue to contribute to it. So
right.
It's not going away.
Right. It's not going to get any better
soon, even up there.
Nope.
Real quick, we talked about the budget proposals, and we talked about the fact that President Trump is proposing the largest pay raise in a decade for our military. But roughly his VA budget would propose roughly a fifth of his budget of $87 billion for the VA would go to its community care programs. And what one of the things they're highlighting here, and I know we're right on the break, is that it's consistent with the dollars that were spent in previous years. And so he's kind of pushing back on those that say they're trying to privatize the VA, Tom. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But as always, you can, for more information, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Destined for the Dustbin. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, it is that time of year again. The time when the big boy establishment types start to throw their weight around in their backyards and in front of any camera that they can get into focus. Many will attempt to block out the competition by using their size and strength to squeeze out their competitors before they can begin their run for greatness. It's also the time when the little guy hopes to land a spot in a big dance and pull the upset that will allow them to claim the ring and the title of Cinderella. Many have to pull no punches along the way, trying to outdo the competition on camera and on the court of public opinion. They hope to survive long enough to join the ranks of those who can take the stage in the big dance and have an opportunity to stake a claim to the looniest of the left. That's right. While some of you may have thought that I was speaking of NCAA March Madness, I was actually speaking of the madness that has enveloped the once proud Democratic Party as it plows further into the abyss of communism via the path of democratic socialism. With a newfound celebrity of fellow travelers such as the barmaid economist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the anti-Semite Ilhan Omar, it seems that the only way to get ahead on the left is to go straight off the edge of sanity. And nowhere is that better seen than in the laughable number of candidates joining the field of communist candidates for president. One thing of note, as one communist, communist, after another throws their hat into the center ring of the circus is the trouble they may seem to have just getting out of the blocks without tripping over their own verbal baggage. Take Kirsten Gillibrand, for example, a darling of the progressives during the Obama administration with strong ties to the Clintons. I might add, her political star rose under the guise of mistreatment of women, starting with a non-existent epidemic of sexual assault in the military. She eventually moved on to target the austere body in which she resides, the Congress of the United States. In April 2018, the Democrat from New York urged Senate leaders to pass her bipartisan Congressional Harassment Reform Act. Gillibrand wrote in Fortune magazine, quote, "Congress has a sexual harassment problem, and it isn't taking it seriously. If we can't clean up our own act, how can anyone expect Congress to do the right thing for victims and survivors in the rest of the country? Congress has to do better. I believe that elected officials should be held to the highest ethical standard, not the lowest." Of course, this was at the height of the Me Too movement, and Gillibrand was trying her hardest to stake her claim as its leader. She did not fare too badly, and of course went on to harass Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh during his confirmation hearings, again scoring points with the loony left. Unfortunately for Gillibrand, as is the case with so many leftist politicians, activists, and actors, they want you to do as I say, not as I do. You see, while publicly positioning herself as a champion of the harassment victims, Gillibrand apparently allowed a serial harasser to torment her female staff. And when a woman on her staff risked her own career to report the abusive conduct, the staffer was belittled by her office and treated like an inconvenience. Gillibrand kept the harasser on her staff until it proved politically untenable for her to do so. Gillibrand is still pushing legislation, the Military Justice Improvement Act, which would remove the chain of command and make independent prosecutors rather than military commanders responsible for handling allegations of sexual misconduct in the military. The legislation aims to eliminate, quote, "the bias and the inherent conflicts of interest posed by the military chain of command's sole decision-making power." Yet, when faced with such allegations in her own office, she had no concern about bias and inherent conflicts of interest. She is no champion for women. She is a political opportunist, a charlatan, and a hypocrite. Her legislation, her campaign, and her legacy should be one of disgrace, and her star should be a shooting one disintegrating as it falls. Next up, Beto Mayo O'Rourke, the failed congressman from Texas whose biggest claim to fame is losing to the evil Ted Cruz in the last Senate race. Or maybe it is that O'Rourke, the son of an El Paso County judge, used daddy's position and his assumed white privilege to skirt a DUI conviction in which he fled the scene a la Ted Kennedy. Or maybe it is the fact that he proudly claims that all of the high priests of the progressive priesthood, Hussein Obama. They are both equally untested and unqualified to hold office. But such is the hubris of those on the left. You can be a loser, a failed candidate, or in Bill Clinton's case, a serial abuser of women, but the cult of victimhood only lifts you up as high as their savior. Of course, O'Rourke had spewed no limit of garbage from his pie hole during his public life. Unfortunately for Beto Mayo, his comments compared our greatest generation veterans with the force that is global warming. Oops, global cooling. Oops, climate change. Got to get the propaganda right. Have shown his utter disrespect for this nation and our veterans. He somehow equates mobs marching to stop cow farts with courageous young men storming beaches in a hail of gunfire to beat back Nazis during World War II. That he is lauded by those on the left as an indication of just how precarious is the state of our nation. However, the fact that his ignorance and disrespect for our veterans, along with the hypocrisy of those such as Gillibrand in her attempts to destroy our military readiness, are on display for everyone to see is encouraging. Well, the curtain has been pulled back, and everyone can now see that the Democratic Party of today is the anti-American Communist Party of tomorrow, destined for the dustbin of history. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Good stuff there, Tom. Hey, real quick, in the wake of St. Patrick's Day, I just found an interesting story. Of the 3,515 Medals of Honor that were awarded by the United States, some 2,018 have gone to Irish Americans. And the interesting figure there, a representative from the Irish Veterans Post in Tampa. I didn't even know we had an Irish Veterans Post organization. The Irish have been fighting each other and everybody else forever, so that's why they go and fight. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans, for the veterans, we thank you for joining us. Please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!